Hello and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Comparative 12 Steps Study Group. My name is AJ and I'm a food addict and the facilitator for today. The purpose of this group is to discuss the 12 steps, one at each meeting, and to share our personal experiences with the step or anything related to the theme of the step. Many of us are inspired by the 12-step approach, but find that some of the original language and concepts don't align with our personal beliefs. During this meeting, we will read several different interpretations of the steps and discuss, as the varied individuals we are, what makes sense to us and what helps our recovery. As always, please take what you like and leave the rest. This month, we'll be discussing Step 6. We'll be reading 8 versions of the step, the OA, Traditional, Freethinker, Buddhist, Cleveland/Atheist, Humanist, Practical, Proactive, and SOS, Secular Organization for Sobriety. These sources can be found in the literature and websites listed in the chat and in the guide link.
Step 6 versions. OA principle is willingness. Traditional OA, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Freethinker, we're ready to accept help and letting go of all our defects of character. Pass.
I'll just go ahead. Buddhist, became entirely ready to work at transforming ourselves. Cleveland, be entirely ready to acknowledge our abiding strength and release our personal shortcomings. Pass. Tam.
Humanist, we are ready to accept the help they, our friends, give us. Practical, made a list of our unhealthy character traits. Proactive, I understand how these patterns have been ways of coping with my fears. SOS, I focus on healing, abolishing self-blame and shame, and understanding the boundaries of my responsibilities. I remain open to the help and support of others as I address the challenge of change.
We are now open for discussion about the steps. What does Step 6 mean to you? And what are your impressions of the different versions we just read? A link to the screen share handout is in the chat if you'd like to continue looking at the steps during the discussion. Who would like to begin? Jenny.
Hi, Jenny, sugar addict and compulsive eater. I like a lot of the different versions in here. Like, there's a lot of different parts that I like to pull in. The principle of willingness, just being open to change, I think is really important. I do not like the defects part. So the traditional and the freethinker ones, I'm not quite into. I think the proactive is my favorite. I understand how these patterns have been ways of coping with my fears. And I like the idea of having character defaults, and it's sort of like our whatever we've figured out adaptive behaviors. And a lot of times these things, you know, are no longer serving us. And so things that we may have, you know, started as a child or a teenager, we're still carrying through now. And I think it's good to take a second look and see if, you know, those things are still serving us, as some of these have said. I know for myself, I have always been, you know, like a really shy person and staying in the background. And some of this came from being afraid of people thinking that what I had to say was stupid, you know, so then I would just not talk at all. Then that way, that would never be tested. And so instead of participating, you know, I would just be in the background all the time. And yeah, maybe that kind of saved me in the beginning, but I'm actually a smart person with, you know, interesting insights and things to share. And it's getting older, and also going through the steps, I've realized that, it's important to let go of that and to put myself out more. So that's why I like that proactive one. Thanks, pass.
Thanks, Jenny. Dina? Dina?
Thank you. I am Dina, compulsive overeater. I like the concept of willingness. I think that's one of the things where I often struggle with, to become willing, to be able to say, okay, I'm willing to let go of this. It's hard for me to let go. I also like then the humanist version. We are ready to accept the help our friends give us. And if I'm not willing, I can't accept the help. And then the practical made a list of our unhealthy character traits. And I think it helps me to know which those unhealthy character traits are so that I can be willing to help others, and most importantly for me at this stage, to receive help. The humanist that said, willing, no, to let others, our friends, help us. If I'm not willing, I can't let anyone help me. And if I'm not willing to acknowledge that I have unhealthy habits, going to the fridge, going to the shop, packing in my trolley, if I'm not willing to say, okay, I have these unhealthy habits, then I can't accept help because I won't see I need help. So those are the things that really struck me tonight when we read this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. Okay, I'll go ahead and share. I'm AJ. I'm a compulsive eater and food addict, sugar addict in North Carolina or wherever I am. And the what I heard earlier about not liking the word defects, I don't like that either. And one of these mentioned character traits. I'm not looking at the screen right now. Here we go. Here we go. The unhealthy character traits. I really like that phrase. And I also remind myself always that I have healthy character traits as well. In the original OA, particularly with the fourth step, I always felt as if I had to just list all the things about myself that were, quotes, bad. And that has bothered me for years. So now, I've done, golly, I guess a dozen fourth steps. Now, if I look at my fourth step, I always think of good and bad, or healthy and unhealthy. I prefer that, in fact. So I just wanted to make that point that I don't like the word defects either. Thanks. Anyone else would like to share? We've got plenty of time.
I am Lisa and I belong in this program. And this step I've evolved over time. I tried to do it the traditional way. And you go to, you write down character defects and then you it's so I don't know, it reminds me of the church I was raised in, We're born with this sin and the original sin. Church I had original sin. So you're always trying to be something that you perceived was the right way to be a human. And I never could figure it out. I never could get to the point where I was the good one. I was always the bad girl or the bad person or the ignorant person or the uneducated person. And so as an adult, I said, okay, as a retired adult or older adult, I said, it's time for you to take on your own responsibility for how you see it. And so I've had fun reading some books. And there's one, I mean, every time I read a book, I get a new idea. But one that's helping me recently is Ingrid Clayton, Spiritual Bypass is the big words that she uses. And I think, it's not only bypassing spirituality that that can get us into some kinky little places, but not bypassing my feelings or my emotions can get me in trouble. So I like to step back and say, okay, that's how I dealt with it before. What do you think a better way would be, or a more effective way, to be authentic to yourself and do no harm, do less harm, or to improve, or some other kind of way of looking at it? It's not right or wrong or good or bad. It's just what way would be more comfortable. Or there's one particular lady that I knew for many years, and she had done a couple of things that really I hadn't quite felt that way before about her. And so sometimes I feel like, boy, I'd like to get on the phone and just voice my opinion to her about what she did to me. And then I thought, well, is there any better way that could serve you about it? And I started thinking, why don't you just stay away from her? She's kind of displayed who she wants to be and who she is, and you're looking at it differently. So just remove yourself from that and find other groups or people that support your thinking. And so that's how I like to do step six recently. So thank you for listening.
Van.
Thank you, AJ. Hi, everybody. I'm Van. I'm compulsive overeater and alcoholic and drug addict and a whole lot more. But my number one ever since birth, as far as I can tell, is I have an eating disorder. And it's baffling to me. Everything else, I feel like it can be explained, but the eating disorder, I hope someday I come to some kind of resolution. And about step six, I remember 35 years ago in traditional AA working the steps because I wanted to recover, and this is what they recommended I do. And up through step five, I was pretty much diligent. I got to step six, and I think it's because I'm an atheist, but I was trying to do it AA's way. It probably in 45 seconds, I worked step six and okay, that's done. Next. So it wasn't like it worked the way the other steps did when I gave them much more work and contemplation, especially the contemplation. And now I see the benefit of dwelling on these and contemplating. And my favorite is Serge Pringle's approach. I think his approach most closely matches what I have found to be most helpful for me. I think that's all I got.
Thank you, Van. We'll now take turns reading different authors' insights on step six and then share our thoughts. Jenny.
Step six insights. Beth H. Take some time while doing step six to note the ways your low self-esteem has manifested in behavior patterns like these. As we build our self-esteem, they will become unnecessary, but they still may be habitual. Changing habits takes work. Page 115 from her book, We're Not All Egomaniacs, Adapting the 12 Steps for Alcoholics with Low Self-Esteem. And I'll read another one. Martha Cleveland and Arliss G. Being entirely ready is not just a conscious mental decision. If we try to make our lives change by altering the thinking of our rational mind alone, it won't work. It won't work because becoming entirely ready has to happen in our own subconscious thought. page 62 from their book, The Alternative 12 Steps, A Secular Guide to Recovery. Pass.
Pam?
Stephanie Covington. For now, step 6, ask only that we become ready. We ask ourselves what we most want to change and find out how vulnerable we're willing to be. Are we willing to open up and approach life differently? That's page 106. Can you scroll up, please? From A Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps, 1994. Jeffrey Munn, we are trying to shape our character traits over a period of time. Shaping is a process that requires consistency and discipline. That's from Jeffrey Munn, Staying Sober Without God, The Practical 12 Steps to Long-Term Recovery from Alcoholism and Addictions, 2021, page 75. Pass.
Thanks, Tam. T?
OA 12 and 12. In steps 4 and 5, we took a long, hard look at each trait and acknowledged it as a part of our lives. Now we ask ourselves, what is it doing for us, as well as what it is doing to us? We search out our reasons for hanging on to each trait. Every character defect we have today has been useful to us at some point in our lives, and we need to recognize that fact. From the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, 2nd edition, 2018, page 48. Serge Pringle. You have to understand how these so-called defects are an attempt to cope with something that feels overwhelming. It is then possible for you to replace them with something else that fulfills the same function, but works better and has fewer side effects. From the Proactive 12 Steps, A Mindful Program for Lasting Change, 6th edition, 2021, page 36. Pass.
We are now open for discussion about these interpretations of the insights. Pam, do you have your hand raised?
I do.
Okay.
I am a compulsive overeater. I was at a meeting yesterday where we talked about step 6. And one of the things I liked about the reading that we did there, in the big book, it says that step 6, quote, separates the men from the boys. OA 12 and 12 makes it much more gender neutral and says step 6 can be one of the most difficult steps to do. And, you know, I mean, I think it's so easy to think that we're ready, but are we really ready? You know, like, am I really ready to give up my character defects? Have I thought about what I'm going to replace them with? You know, like, have I looked at the defect and looked at the corresponding asset to that and figured out how I'm going to work towards that? For me, that is all part of becoming ready. The other part of becoming ready for me is I did a combination big book, which is the same as a Jeffrey Munn fourth step, and a OA 12 and 12 fourth step as well. And so I had all this writing and all these different pieces here and there. And so I went through and I did all of it on a spreadsheet and I did some sorting so that I could see, you know, where the same defects were repeating themselves and where, like, how I could categorize them and concatenate them so that it wasn't something unwieldy and overwhelming. It could get down to something that could actually be manageable. And for me, that was a big part of step 6. And it took me a while to like really grapple with what are the essential issues that I need to change in my life to have long-term recovery. And that is what this step is all about, in my belief. That's what 4 through 9 are about. And this is smack dab in the middle of getting ready to do the hard work. Well, maybe 4 and 5 are hard work too. Anyway, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Tam. Jenny?
Hi, Jenny, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. When I did my step four, it was pretty thorough. And I went back and looked at it. And I kind of underlined the common themes that I saw that would have been like the default behaviors. I mean, a little bit like what Tam did. And I made a list of those things. But I feel like what was really overwhelming was that the list got kind of long. And it's like, sure, I have like willingness, but this just feels overwhelming to have so many of the things. So I decided to just tackle, you know, a few of the character defaults at a time and not become overwhelmed with like trying to change everything at once. And another part of that is just like, I can't focus on so many different things, you know? So I tried to pick the ones that were in my way the most. And now I can't even remember, you know, what those were. So I think some of it may have resolved itself over time. But I think one of the hard things is, one of my character defects that I'm still grappling with is jealousy. And I just hate the kind of person that I turn into when I start having those feelings. And it's taken me a while to figure out like what would be the opposite thing that I could do so that I wouldn't have the jealousy. And I've just recently figured out that, you know, instead of focusing on the thing that's making me jealous, I need to focus on something else that's making me like more engaged and happy and excited in the world. And, you know, I've recently restarted kind of a hobby, and it's just taking up like all this room in my mind, and it's just really exciting. And when that's in there, I don't really care about the thing that's making me jealous. And so, you know, I'm kind of like able to let go. And the thing that's making me jealous is like, you know, something I'm going to have to be encountering probably for the rest of my life. It's, you know, I'm a single mom who had a partner for a while who became like a second mom to my son. And I'm just like jealous of all the time that he spends with her, you know, and it's going to be like this for the rest of my life. You know, like he's always going to have a relationship, and it's just really hard for me. But right now, like, I don't even care because I've got this other stuff to think about. And I have a good relationship with my son, so I don't know why, you know, I have to focus on that, but I still do. So anyway, I just have found that for me, the solution for the jealousy is to find something else exciting to focus on. And so that's given me, like, once I figured that out, it gave me the willingness to be able to change that. You know, I kind of needed to figure out what an alternative would be. Pass.
Thank you, Jenny. Dina.
I connect quite a lot with the search Pringle, the so-called defects, the unhealthy habits, are an attempt to cope with something that feels overwhelming. For me, that was translated to my defense mechanisms. And when I started with OA, I really felt so upset, so angry at myself that I haven't done something earlier, much younger. And then all these, if I did, things could have been so different. It could have been, it might have been, it should have been. And it took me a long time to realize, but those defense mechanisms really helped me. And that they were there for a reason, because I can't just look back and say, I should have changed earlier. I also need to look at my circumstances, the knowledge that I had, where in life I was. And that helped me to realize that I can forgive myself too. And I need to let go of all these, I should have done it earlier. I could have had a better life. I could have had a different life. It's not easy to just say, okay, I could have, but it's more difficult to say, might be true, but let's look at the context in which things happened. And that really helped me a lot in coming to terms with what were unhealthy habits and where I am now seeing them for being unhealthy habits. They were unhealthy, as Serge Pringle also said, because they played a role in my life. And now that I let go of those anger moments at myself and the guilt that I feel towards myself for not taking care better of myself earlier, it helps me a lot to realize that I wouldn't have survived until now if it wasn't in place. It played a role. And in a way, I can say thank you for it, wave it goodbye, and then turn around and live my new life now. Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. I'm AJ. I'm still a compulsive eater. The one that jumped out at me in the insights was the 12 and 12. And I have been looking at that book off and on for 40 years. And so the language is quite familiar. And that last sentence, every character defect we have today has been useful, I'll say, to me at some point in my life. And I need to recognize that fact. And that made me go back to the versions and the one that said the food has helped me cope with my fears. And when I looked at that, I remembered something. I have thought that my two biggest negative character traits were fear and guilt. And I've been saying that for a long time. And a sponsor at one point, this was back in the 90s probably, asked me, how do those things help you? How does your guilt help you? How does your fear help you? And it really gave me a lot to think about. Fear is like things that haven't happened yet. Guilt is about things that have already happened. And the fear sometimes is healthy, keeps me from stepping in front of a moving bus. But there are other times when I fear something and I have no idea what the outcome would be. And I eat because I will overeat because the fear is so uncomfortable and the food numbs me out. And then the guilt part, I can't do anything about things I did in the past. There's no way I can go back and change things. And so to look at, I loved what Jamie said about the positive, look at the positive side. And, you know, if I slapped my daughter 40 years ago, well, I also loved her and hugged her and told her how much I loved her and kept her out of danger, blah, blah, blah. So I have to look at both sides of that. And in doing that work one time, I remember saying, well, what if I stole some money from somebody? I feel really, really guilty about that. And she would say, why did you steal the money? Well, I feared I didn't have enough. I feared I was going to starve. I feared this. So I realized the fear and the guilt both came back to me. So I'm going to stop there. But these, the insights and the versions today have really jumped out at me. Thanks. Would someone else like to share? Van, go ahead.
Thanks, AJ. I'm Van. I'm also still a compulsive overeater. You know, after saying how much I liked Kris Pringle when we read the insight, I didn't like him at all. I didn't like any of those. And I felt like they were all antiquated and ill-informed, except the traditional AA 12 and 12 from 2018 was like new approach to me. If that was the way it was written 35 years ago, it's like, well, my attitude was certainly not very receptive. I wasn't very open-minded because it seemed much better informed than what I usually think of as traditional way to work the 12 steps, which I did way back then, and it did me a world of good. So if that's your cup of tea, I say good. I'm applauding you and supporting you. It'll be good for you. But today, I am all about internal family systems. It seems to be, to me, the best informed approach to finding better mental health. And a thought came to me today, well, maybe I don't know myself well enough. I may still be looking for the golden key or the magic pill that this thing is going to fix me. And next month, the VA is going to give me a new evaluation. I may get to continue with a therapist doing mental health work. And they're pretty cutting edge. So there's a possibility they're going to recommend psychoactive drugs, the hallucinogens. Reading on the newsletters, that seems to be a thing nowadays. So this time next year, I might be saying, oh, ever since I took that magic mushroom, now I have the insight. So I'm just going to try and keep an open mind about everything and everybody's approach. That's all I got.
Thanks, Van. That is all we have today. Thank you all for participating in this group. Together, we get better. If you'd like to hear recordings from past Alternative Step discussion meetings, you can check the Alternative 12 Steps page on secularovereaters.org.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.